We have one more piece of poetry from one of our dear brothers, of course, whose poetic talent is perhaps unmatched. At least for me, it is unmatched, mashallah. It is our honor to invite Brother Muzaffar Haider from the United Kingdom to please come and put forth the last piece of artistic poetry for tonight. We humbly invite him with a salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي
Forgive me for being late. I've been far, far away. What year is it, by the way? 2023? Oh, thank God. I'm back, finally. I want to tell you what I've seen. You see, it's to the future that I've been. Tomorrow's world is what I saw. I have seen a world with absolutely no war. Everywhere there is peace evermore. I have seen a world where people help one another, where a believer considers another truly like his brother. I have seen a world where progress is made for the sake of Allah and not for financial gain. I have seen a world without unnecessary pain. Listen to me. Because I've seen our destiny. I've seen the world as it ought to be. Yes, I stepped into a time machine and saw before me an unbelievable scene. Green grass as far as the eye can see, the seas and skies bluer than they had ever been. I stepped into a time machine. And I saw the people of that time have brilliant minds. They smile at passers-by and to one another are incredibly kind. They wore clean clothes and worshipped the divine. They spoke a kind of Arabic and Farsi combined. It took me a while to figure out what they were saying, and you'll find they were so advanced in thinking and technology, they left us far behind. And I said salams to a great granddaughter of mine. She also had a different complexion to mine, like so many of those people's faces, as though her parents were of different races. She told me when a young man came to ask her hand in marriage, they simply asked if he was a Muslim and if for salah his heart yearns. I told her, where I come from, the first thing they ask is what nationality to they belong and how much they earn. She gasped in disgust, saying, incomprehensible. In today's world, that's considered despicable. Now, allow me to brag and be bold. She was studying in the University of Medina, the most prestigious university on the globe, studying astrophysics and divine biology. She already had a doctorate in the history of the 2020s and now was going on to pursue her passion in Islamic arts in Qom City. Not bad for a 17-year-old. Such studies must be very hard. She told me, that's nothing. My best friend already has ijtihad. I found myself in a palace, at the gate of which stood two guards. Yet no person was prevented or barred from entering, and I saw people worshipping. I saw olive trees and fig trees everywhere. Families having picnics under the blue sky without a care. Children were running and laughing. I saw no vice. I blinked twice, wondering, is this paradise? My granddaughter laughed and told me, this is Prophet Jesus' shrine. My heart throbbed as I realized I now stood in a liberated Palestine. and we passed through beautiful cemeteries dedicated to martyrs of past centuries, and I saw a huge stone statue of a boy holding up a slingshot. Remember, this was how you fought the Zionist plot, my granddaughter told me as we took a selfie. We learned from history books about how your generation overcame the Zionist crooks. That statue of that boy with the slingshot is still engraved in my mind. But we didn't have time to linger and had to find the International Speed Station of Palestine. From where we caught a train speeding east, I noticed that we were soon in grasslands, splendid and green. Where are we? I said. This I have never seen. Syria, she told me. Isn't it pristine? We're going to make a stop to Sayyida Zainab's shrine. But when we entered upon that land divine, I saw no golden dome. My granddaughter told me after the Zuhur, it was melted down and used to create the new global currency. The Islamic banking system had ended global poverty. Yet all around, I saw people sat dressed in rough clothes on the streets. Why are they begging still? But as we approached, we saw that they were doctors, professionals with a will to serve humanity, paving the way to Sayyida Zainab's shrine, begging to clean our shoes and offer us tea, begging to give back and not to receive. Then the shrine I perceived, a light almost took my vision away, the sun shining bright as day, through the dome made of crystal, like angelic glass celestial. My granddaughter told me that the Iranian Space Agency discovered a planet long ago, made of solid diamond, which they brought back to earth and built the shrine so. I wished to visit the tomb of Sayyida Zainab, but when I approached, the fragrance of paradise had my senses encroached. I saw not the tomb, but the Lady of Light herself awoke. She was smiling, and that smile sent such a shock to my heart of mirth, and she spoke. And I cannot explain how or why she herself was there, because I fainted before I could ask. And when I awoke, I was in the care of what I thought was an angel made of white stainless steel. But my granddaughter told me, it's a robot. Oh, for real? I said, seeing the medical bot. Your health is in good condition, although your disposition is slightly hot. Terrified, I grabbed the doctor's thobe. But what if artificial intelligence takes over the globe? My granddaughter laughed. She told me a programmer named Mustafa Azkaban from the Islamic Republic of Japan infused AI with the algorithm of the Quran, and so the robots serve only Allah and submit to the will of the Imam. I asked, how much would the healthcare cost? Worried, because I only had like 5 tumans in my pocket. She laughed again. Healthcare is free, she told me, for everyone. The hospital had no queues outside. The nurses wore white and blue hijabs. New, helpful species were being hatched in biological labs. I saw strange creatures being grown in eggs. And I saw a boy born disabled, now standing for the first time on cybernetic legs. Outside, the air was clean and fresh. People were busy walking to work for what comes next. Then I heard an adhan echoing through loudspeakers throughout the land, beautiful like Bilal's. Suddenly, they began to rush. I worried because, like, I thought I'd be crushed. I said, relax, it's only namaz. My granddaughter frowned at me. Every blessing we have is due to this mi'raj. Ashamed, I entered a masjid sublime. Oh my God, what I would find. Would you believe what I saw? Thousands stood before their Lord. It wasn't like our prayers today, no. Every one of them was stood a certain way. Every single one of them trembling with fear or weeping as though Allah was near. I saw men of strength and the elderly. I saw youths younger than me praying like Khomeini, swooning like Khamenei, crying like every one of them was Ayatollah Bahjat reborn. I felt ashamed to be among them. I felt like my clothing ought to be torn. And this made me weep profusely. I wanted to thank Allah and Imam Mahdi to whatever end. I wanted that moment of salah to never end. But before I could savor it, the Imam said the salam and all were shaking hands like the warmest of friends. I was still trembling and dazed when a skyship raised us into the air. I was amazed. I said, wow! No more traffic jams. And as we sailed through the sky across the land, my granddaughter told me the people of the past didn't understand. They weren't stuck in traffic. They were themselves the traffic jam. When the thinkers of the just governments recognized that sitting in traffic was a waste of time and that wastage was among the greatest crimes, they thought of how to rid traffic from our lives. And by, a Hyderabadi scientist, with the help of Allah, invented this. Oh, the things that I have seen. In that future world, I saw on the roads not one piece of trash. And in the Muslim lands, not a single car crash, because everyone was flying sky high. And I saw children on a school trip as we zoomed by, and they were visiting the elderly to learn akhlaq and how they ought to be. I saw them kissing the hands of their mums and dads. No, don't look at me as though I'm mad. I have seen a world where in Muharram, even Christian nations project black flags for Imam Hussein out of pure respect. And even those of other faiths submit humbly to the justice of the Imam. I have seen the global ideological supremacy of Islam. I have seen a society so engrossed in piety that gaining knowledge is their priority, where they have traveled further than Neptune, where people take ziyara trips to the moon. I have seen global prosperity like a flower bloom. I have seen Shaheed Fakhrizadeh Institute had accomplished the impossible, gathered up the fossilized remains of animals extinct for millions of years before Noah's Ark and recreated them from their DNA like Jurassic Park. I have seen a society of the future where those who have the highest pay are teachers, educators of the way. A world where if someone commits a racist crime, they won't just rot in prison and do their time. No, but they will be sent to another nation abroad, travel in the land so that their thinking becomes broad. A world where every child has support, where justice reigns in every court, where scholars practice what they're taught. A world without borders, where every Muslim receives a new passport, white as snow, and on the front it doesn't display the name of any single nation, but rather it simply says the Islamic civilization. And I saw billboards advertising the Quran and sayings of the best of Al-Insan, not for commercial purposes, but to remind everyone of Islam under the just rule of the Imam. My granddaughter told me that when the Islamic media revolution took place, everyone abandoned the rat race. It was a turning point in history. Everyone abandoned materialism and vanity, instead striving to better themselves and humanity. The journey was long, so she showed me a new movie made by the system of the Mahdi. And oh my God, I can't describe it. It was 3D, but not with annoying goggles, and I could feel the wind and smell the foods in the movie. You're all looking at me like I'm crazy, but you just have to experience it. And the movie made me remember Allah in such a way that I can never forget that day. What happened to Hollywood? I asked my granddaughter. She shrugged her shoulders. It died with Bollywood. People aren't really interested in those boring old movies anyway. I sat back, amazed. From way up there in the clouds, I saw a city shining with white. Its towers were lofty and proud. And there were great buildings floating in the air, and the celestial aura of God was shimmering everywhere. What is that city? I asked the pilot. Don't you know? That's Kufa city. That's Kufa? I cried, my heart in my mouth. It's the capital of the world, from where the Ahlul Bayt rule the affairs. I wanted to go, but my granddaughter said it was too busy there. People come from all over the globe. What for? I asked. She said, they're celebrating the Hur Day. That's the day Imam Mahdi reappeared long ago and the world changed forever. The Muslims of the past used to wait for the Dhuhr. Now we celebrate it in Kufa with Iftar and Suhoor. After the Dhuhr had taken place and Kufa had been made safe, the enemies tried to attack. The Islamic Republic of Iran had Kufa's back. Tears were in my eyes as I watched the glorious city go by. She gave me a telescopic device with which I could see the children playing happily in the streets. I looked up. What's that? Suddenly, I saw fighter jets soar overhead, zooming fast, and my heart sunk immediately as I recalled the wars of the past and I saw them spray Kufa city with a peppered blast. No! I cried with all my heart. We have to do something before they destroy the city. But the passengers just looked at me and the pilot said, order, order, looking at me like I was an old veteran with post-traumatic stress disorder. My granddaughter calmly sat me down. I looked again with a frown and saw that the fighter jets were not spraying the city with bombs, but with rose petals, red, white and pink. My granddaughter explained as my heart began to sink that the military planes were used for destruction no more, used now only for good and not for war. She gave me a snack to calm my nerves. I checked the agreed ingredients to see if they were Zio American hors d'oeuvres. She laughed again at what she saw. Calm down, Grandpa. There's nothing like that in the world anymore. I said, hey, Grandpa? She said, well, you are from a different age and mold. I said, yeah, but don't make me feel old. She told me and took me to the Museum of the US&A, showed me all the fascinating displays of a past world where greed and capitalism had reigned. I saw rifles and bombs in glass displays. I saw all sorts of weapons of the former days. I saw countless movies, posters, video games, celebrity images that you and I see every day. I saw outdated superheroes while the tour guide explained, this is how propaganda had kept the masses enslaved. This is what America had used in a way that was depraved. And I saw red lipstick and makeup behind glass displays. This is what ancient women would use to degrade themselves and thus became enslaved. I saw t-shirts, mugs and merchandise from former days. Yes, we can, former President Obama's phrase. Statistics on the side showed just how hypocritical it was in every way, but how the people of the past had been deceived anyway. The future people in the tour became amazed, shocked and unable to believe that people had been so backwards and naive. I said, yes, it's real. People really fell for all this stuff. How do you know, man? Said some rowdy kid in the crowd. I got angry. I said, because I'm from the past. I said really loud, I was there, I saw it, I had to live through all of that. My generation had to suffer all of that. So what, so that you could live where you are now, in the conditions that you are in now? That rowdy kid just went silent and raised his eyebrows. My granddaughter hushed me and led me on some more. Hall of US Presidents, it said on the door. There was a caricature of George Bush, and when I gave the button a little push, it said, fool me once, shame on you. And we saw other US presidents too. She asked me, Grandpa, but is this all really true? Such stupid leaders really oppressed and people still voted for them and gave them success? I said to her, firstly, stop calling me grandpa. And secondly, yes. and I saw a red Make America Great Again hat in a trash can surrounded by mess. The caption read, "The dustbin of history," and the mystery of all past tyrannies unraveled before my eyes. I saw displays of neckties, the clothing of past consumerist slaves, those who, when you see them today, you are amazed. But I assure you, the people of the future see these slaves as we see those who once dwelt in caves. And then I saw Barbie dolls, and in another display, an action figure with which I once used to play, wondering how on earth did we not go astray. I became sorrowful, my thoughts like waves, and I watched silently that rowdy boy went his way. In his hand was a book titled The Quran with Illustrations, and I began to think of my own time and all our limitations. I continued to look, thinking, in my time, such a boy would not carry such a book. My granddaughter saw me and said, "What's the matter? You can see that good has come and gone is the bad. Why then are you still worried and sad?" I sighed and said, "Me and my generation were raised in times of hardship and pain. That was what made us strong and sane. But your generation is in a world of peace. How will you be tested to reach your peak?" She said, "Don't worry, Grandpa. Allah has a plan for us all. Just like your people rose for the Mahdi, we too are rising to the call. But while your generation had to fight to survive, to keep Islam alive, Islam now lives and reigns supreme. Our test now is to truly believe." I told her, "That's really deep, but stop calling me Grandpa. There's much more to say, but perhaps for another day." After witnessing that future world, I wanted to stay. But here I am in the present once more, taking the opportunity to warn. Dear brothers and sisters, before we get to that brilliant world, there is a mission that we must undertake and a war that must be fought. And in the darkest of times, when you might ask, why should we even try anymore? Know that there's a bright future ahead of us, and that's worth fighting for. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.